publications, Douglas's natural ability to put one word after another in the service of awakening, delighting, bamboozling, affirming, informing, or amusing the mind of the reader never deserted him. His is an egoless style where every trope and every trick available to writing is used when and only when it serves the purposes of the piece. I think, when you listen to this book, you will be astonished by the apparent and utterly misleading simplicity of his style. You feel he's talking to you, almost off the cuff. But as with Woodhouse, the ease and sweet running of his authorial engine was the result of a great deal of tuning and oily wrenching of nuts and gaskets. Douglas has in common with certain rare artists, Woodhouse again included, the ability to make the beholder feel that he is addressing them and them alone. I think this in part explains the immense strength and fervour of his fan base, if I can use so revolting a phrase. When you look at Velasquez, listen to Mozart, read Dickens, or laugh at Billy Connolly, to take four names at random — it always takes a great deal of time and thought to take names at random for the purposes of argument — you are aware that what they do for the world, and the results are, of course, magnificent. But when you look at Blake, listen to Bach, read Douglas Adams, or watch Eddie Izzard perform, you feel you are perhaps the only person in the world who really gets them. Just about everybody else admires them, of course, but no one really connects with them in the way you do. I advance this as a theory. Douglas's work is not the high art of Bach or the intense personal cosmos of Blake, it goes without saying, but I believe my view holds nonetheless. It's like falling in love. When an especially peachy Adams turn of phrase or epithet enters the eye and penetrates the brain, you want to tap the shoulder of the nearest stranger and share it. The stranger might laugh and seem to enjoy the writing, but you hug to yourself the thought that they didn't quite understand its force and quality the way you do, just as your friends, thank heavens, don't also fall in love with the person you are going on and on about to them. You are on the verge of entering the wise, provoking, benevolent, hilarious, and addictive world of Douglas Adams. Don't bolt it all whole. As with Douglas's beloved Japanese food, what seems light and easy to assimilate is subtler and more nutritious by far than might at first appear. The bottom drawer of recently deceased writers is often best left firmly locked and bolted. In the case of Douglas, I'm sure you'll agree, the bottom drawer, or in his case, the nested subfolders of his hard drive, has been triumphantly well worth the prizing open. Peter Guzzardi and Douglas's wife Jane have done a wonderful job. A Douglasless world is much less pleasant than a Douglas full world, but the leaping of